now, coming to you nearly live from our cavernous and very cool compound beneath Virginia City and the catacombs and the mine shafts. It's the Storyteller Podcast. My name is Sam Toll, and I'm coming to you today, again, in the nice cool confines. It's about 59 degrees down here beneath Virginia City. It's, it's been about 100 degrees above ground at the surface. And summer's upon us. It's really nice to get out, put the top of the convertible down, and go run through the gears. Today I'm joined with Sheriff Antonoro. We talk about public safety and among other things, the hiring process that he's going through to put some new deputies out on patrol. So without any further ado, Sheriff Antonoro. Once again, here with Sheriff Gerald Antonoro of the Story County Sheriff's Office, and we're talking today about things that are transpiring in his office. Jerry, I was at the county commissioners meeting, 2 days past, and there was something that was interesting in my eye. Hugh had mentioned that the department or the office is getting $1,000 for DNA swabs. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It's not the sheriff's office that's getting it. It's a specific requirement that was enacted by legislature. I believe it's actually under the Justice Court for DNA marker or genetic testing markers. And what that applies to is anytime somebody is charged with a felony offense, and in some instances, very specific misdemeanor offenses, we're required to collect a DNA sample, non-intrusive. It's a buccal swab, just basically a cotton ball or a Q-tip kind of a deal in somebody's mouth, and you gather up a few cells that way, and then it's sent to the lab for testing or categorizing. Then it's put on file. But I say it's under some very specific criteria, and I say felonies and certain misdemeanors or gross misdemeanors, and that's what that applies to. And that's all stuff that was enacted by the legislature.
So it's not something that the deputies are patrolling with kits and they're pulling people over and applying the swab to them so they can catalog them and that kind of thing, right?
No, we have a lot better things to do than just run around sticking Q-tips in people's mouths and collecting samples of bodily fluids.
Right. Well, as a privacy advocate, I tend to look at those things. I read in the online journals that there are jurisdictions that are using them in the course of DUI checkpoints, and for folks who consider their privacy something sacred, it's something that I just listen for, and whenever I hear something like that, a little bell goes off in the back of my head. Gee, why are they doing that? So it doesn't sound like it's something that Story County is actively trying to catalog all its citizens and mark their DNA. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. We had talked last time about the body cams and the fact that the legislation was on again, off again. From what I gather now and from what I think you shared with me, your department, your office is required or is going to have to start implementing that. And, of course, there's no money to back it up. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
The legislature has approved or did enact the body cam bill, and the governor signed it, so it is law. It becomes mandatory, I believe, July 1st of 2018, so it's not an immediate thing, depending on what course of action the county chooses to pursue. Along with that bill, the legislature approved the ability to enact a surcharge on telephones, cell phones, and landlines. So the county does have the ability to basically enact a new tax that will pay not only for the body cameras, but upgrades to the whole reporting system. It's been the attitude of our county commission that no new taxes be enacted, not necessarily no new taxes, but they're not real keen on enacting something like that. My initial conversations with county management is that they're not leaning in that direction. And that's probably a good thing. I mean, one, I'm a no new tax guy. I don't want to see taxes myself. You know, so I'm well in support of not enacting that. So the question then becomes, how do we pay for them? With the commission meeting the other day you were in, I believe the county comptroller said that the county will have an ending fund balance of, you know, somewhere close to $7.5 million. So there is a little bit of money there. It's not going to cost us near that much to get the body cameras. We're looking probably in the range of $80,000. So the county is in a position that they can buy them. One thing that does go along, should they change course and decide that they want to enact it, then there's a whole big planning process that has to go in place. There has to be a 5-year strategic plan on what's going to be done with those monies, how it's going to improve the system, all those things. There's advisory boards that are required, comprised of community members across the spectrum. So, you know, it becomes quite cumbersome should the county decide to enact that. But like I said, doesn't seem to be an appetite to do that at the time, which I'm in support of. So if we have the money, well then we go ahead and we just buy them. We already have policies in place. Those have been enacted for a while. The last legislative session where the legislature mandated the state implement body cameras, they also pretty well set the course at that point in time to start getting policy laid out. So we have had policies laid out in the sheriff's office since the last legislative session, so we're ahead of the game in that regard. Now it just becomes a matter of getting the actual equipment. Problem that we face is there's some ambiguity in the language of the bill, and basically it says that all uniformed officers who routinely have contact with the public. So what does that actually mean? I'm not being all lawyeristic or politician-y or anything on this, but what does that mean? You know, we have the potential for hiring up to 18 patrol officers. Without a doubt, those are uniformed officers that will be in routine contact with the public. However, I have 8 in the jail. Now, they do wear a uniform, but is an inmate incarcerated in the Story County Jail technically the public? And in the Story County Jail, we have a complete video surveillance system. Everything is recorded and captured. So, you know, do we need to spend another, you know, $8-10 grand of the taxpayers' dollars to put body cameras on the detention staff when we pretty well already have it covered? But that's something that I've already sought, you know, guidance from the district attorney's office, who will either give me an opinion or seek one from possibly the attorney general's office. In any event, we'll get that question answered, and then we'll go out. We've already been looking at the hardware. We've got a few ideas in mind, so then it becomes a matter of who comes back with the best bang for the buck, because I'm not one to willy-nilly spend the taxpayers' dollars. I want something that's going to be cost-effective, save as much as possible, provide the most protection that it can, you know. So a lot of factors to consider there.
It's interesting, too, because in that consideration, you know, you've got a lot of different technologies, a lot of different devices, a lot of different methods of turning the video on, turning the video off, and, you know, where do you position it so it captures, you know, the clearest angle. You know, if you're going to go wrestling with somebody, you're probably not going to get the kind of footage that's going to, you know, be exciting to watch. But nonetheless, you know, you've got all those considerations as well. So I can imagine it's a really interesting process. You know, I agree with you. I'm probably to the right of your stance of, you know, no new taxes, and certainly to the right of the commissioner's stances as far as no new taxes. I'm an anti-taxation person from the word go. And so, you know, when you see the legislature write this kind of a law where there's ambiguity in it, and then there's no money behind it, there's no way to fund it, and it falls on the shoulders of your office and ultimately the citizens to come up with the cash, it's pretty frustrating. But you know, I think you and I shared our thoughts the last time we spoke about the benefit of such a device, and you know, it'll help the folks who are advocates of public safety and, you know, concerned about police brutality. They will also, you know, capture the full context of any engagement so that the, you know, the carefully edited snippets that we see on Facebook and YouTube about cops, you know, and painting them in a bad light can actually fully explain the story. So it's kind of interesting about the body cams and what that whole scene entails. So now that the first day of summer is behind us and we're officially in full swing, you know, it's outside, it's probably about 98 degrees right now. We're not really used to this kind of heat up here. I've noticed a difference in the amount of calls and the number of engagements in Virginia City, and I'm referring to the weekly reports that you put out and that we post on the Storyteller. What's going on in Virginia City? Are you noticing an uptick in activity? And I mean, obviously, in the summertime, folks are up. You got more people, and so you're going to have more interaction. How are things going in Virginia City these days?
By and large, everything is pretty much status quo. You know, it's anecdotal, but pretty much whenever you see the temperatures rise, you see activities rise, and a lot of that, you know, anecdotally, like I say, is related to alcohol. It's related to, you know, people get upset easier when they're hot and sweaty and miserable, and you know. But statistically, we're pretty much where we're supposed to be, or where we have historically been, I guess would be a better way of phrasing that. Not a whole lot going on in that regard. I haven't seen so much on the medical side of things, since that's not truly my bailiwick. We just assist on those things. But there's been a lot of reports in the news lately about heat-related medical situations, and that's always a concern when the temperatures hit high, especially with Story County having such a aged population. You know, we still have a very high percentage of seniors. I've already heard people talking about trying to get their coolers working and complaining of the heat. It is unseasonable. Everything about this year has been very bizarre weather-wise. So, you know, and that's something that, you know, I would ask people who listen, you know, if they are having problems, if their neighbors are having problems, you know, kind of try and keep in mind that the heat is a factor. So, you know, try and keep calm, try and keep cool, and if there are legitimate health concerns out there because of the heat, then don't hesitate. You know, give my office a call. We can have a deputy respond. Give the fire department, paramedics a call. You know, it's much better. We would much rather respond and be able to say everything's okay than have to respond later when things are definitely not okay. And the same thing, you know, people are recreating more with the temperatures the way they are. You know, if you're traveling in the backcountry, be extra careful. We're seeing a plethora of fires spring up all over now with the heat and everything drying out from all the moisture we got over the winter. It's kind of ironic, I guess. You know, we're talking about flooding all over northern Nevada, and at the same time we're talking about wildfires all over Nevada. You know, so it kind of flies in the face of logic, but that's the way that it works. You know, so just be careful going back into the hills and backcountry. You know, and everybody wants you to have fun, but be careful because it doesn't take much, and we can have a real problem on our hands.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that. I have talked to a couple of folks who went out to the petroglyphs and managed to stick their cars. You know, you've got all the water washing out the roads that were fine last year and getting stuck, you know, busting transmissions and needing to rely on the resources of your office. And like you say, you know, the grass is super tall this year. It's drying out now, so if you're rolling up with a hot exhaust on a field, you know, I've done it a couple of times where you listen and you go, wait a second, is that crackling underneath my car? You got to really pay attention to what you're doing. And of course, you know, this extra heat, as you said, you know, creates a safety problem with our senior community. I did notice or listen to the last commissioner meeting, maybe it was a meeting before last, where Stacy down at the senior center is doing a collection for fans. And so it's great to know that, you know, that the public, if they have a concern, if there's an issue with your their neighbors or what have you, give you a call and be proactive. Certainly something that's important.
Well, absolutely. And just a couple of other things weather related, you know, since we're talking about that. We did have a recent incident just this past week where we were called to what appeared to be explosives. It was a blasting cap that it looked like it had washed out of the hillside with all of the weather that we had over the winter. You know, now that people are getting out more, you know, they may stumble across that stuff. So if you find anything that looks like an explosive or it's questionable in any regard, give us a call. Don't tamper with it, especially if it's an old explosive. It can go boom in a hurry, and you know, you can lose your fingers, you lose a leg, or again, back to the wildfires. Last thing that I wanted to touch on with you, just weather related, I was down on the north end of the county today and taking a look at the river when I crossed over the Truckee getting back into Story County there in Lockwood, and that thing is just outrageous. It's out of control, crazy flows. It was a couple of weeks ago that we pulled a body out of the river down by Mustang, you know, and now on the news there's a woman that's gone missing that was being talked about yesterday. She's gone missing into the river. So again, you know, we do have that bit of jurisdiction on the north end of the county that the river is involved with. So you know, if you're going to be there, remember that is a super fast river and it is very, very cold. You know, if you fall into that, you know, you're going to have a fight on your hands. One, because of the current, two, because of the temperature. And it doesn't take much to succumb. And you know, you go under, it's not going to have a good outcome.
Yeah, and it's so, you know, enticing. It's super hot outside. That water looks nice and cold, and it is. But, you know, you don't really understand until it's too late that water will pull you in. You'll hit a rock on your head, and that'll be game over. And, of course, that's the last thing any of us want to have to respond to or to deal with in our community. You know, finally, I'd like to just address a little bit about how the search for, or I guess your vetting process for your new hires is. I actually had a chance to talk to one of the young gentlemen who's in your program now. You know, we were talking, kind of joking, and he said, yeah, I was thinking about trying out for it. And I'm like, yeah, go for it. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you're the right kind of guy. You've got the right kind of demeanor. I think you'd be a great, you know, law enforcement officer. And so he did, and he explained to me, you know, how rigorous it was and the different tests that you have to go through, the written, the psychological, the interviewing process. So tell us a little bit about the young gentlemen and women who are coming up in the process and what your prospect is for the new hires.
Well, as I think I mentioned earlier in the broadcast that, you know, there we have the potential for hiring up to 18. We are down a couple positions right now. One of those positions is an additional position that was authorized by the county commissioners during the budget process. So, yeah, we are in the process of looking to pick up a few people. While we didn't have necessarily the numbers of applicants that we've had in the past, ever since the college down in Carson City closed down its police academy program, our number of overall applicants has decreased. However, we've got some exceptional candidates that have applied this time. They did great on the physical testing. You had mentioned the rigorous standards. A lot of those are state-imposed standards. They have to meet a certain level of physical ability so that we know that they can pass the police academy. We had some rock stars on the physical front of things. The written testing process, that's to make sure that they understand some basic concepts. You don't have to know all the law and everything, but you know, we're trying to screen to make sure that people can think in a logical manner, a rational manner, to where they can draw conclusions once we have taught them the law and the specifics of everything. But that being said, say we are in the vetting process. I don't know overall how many candidates that we had, but I know we are looking at the top five right now, and they're starting in on the background process. They've done a extremely well throughout, and some of the things that you pointed out, very, very good qualified, very good personalities. You know, they express that they embrace that philosophy that we have of community policing. Couple of them I've sat down and talked to one-on-one already, because we're that far along into the process, and expose to them my philosophies on community policing and how we need to try and prevent problems before they happen rather than just throw people in jail. That doesn't end well for anybody. So I'm really excited about them. There were a number of candidates that actually either live in the county or have family here in the county. So, you know, they kind of have a vested interest in making sure that our community does well, both both in the north and the south end of the counties. So I'm excited. I think that when we're through the vetting process, we're going to come out with some really good people who are going to really serve the people of Story County well. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's good news. I think that, you know, when you bring the younger, you know, the next generation of folks into the mix, and you get to set them, you know, under the wing, so to speak, of some of the seasoned vets, they get a chance to really experience, you know, that growth process, and to see them blossom into, you know, fine, upstanding, you know, officers and members of the community. I think that's really exciting. So I'm looking forward to it. Hey, if you need someone to teach them about the Constitution and how to, you know, how to obey the, you know, Constitution and make sure what you're doing constitutionally, I'll be happy to pitch in, because that's one of my favorite subjects. I love watching some of these videos of guys who, you know, now this is just completely not constitutional. I can't believe this officer did this. And so no, I'd be happy to pitch in for that. But, yeah, no, it sounds good. Hey, listen, we're up against, you know, the 21-minute mark. In closing, is there anything that you'd like to share with the community that we haven't touched on yet? And knowing that we'll be back in a couple of weeks to do this again?
Well, just one last thing, and just a reminder about, you know, summertime heat, all of the things that we've touched on, going out into the backcountry and all. 4th of July is coming up. You know, we always have a big celebration. Historically, that's our single worst event, just because people are out in the sun all day. They're usually drinking all day, and by the end of the day, there's a whole lot of people wanting to fight. So, you know, let's keep in mind what the day symbolizes, and celebrate our nation's birth. Have a good time. Enjoy our families. Enjoy our communities. And everybody be safe and have a great 4th of July, and we'll do this again real soon.
Excellent, Sheriff. Thank you very much. Appreciate you addressing our audience, and we'll talk in a couple of weeks. Thanks again.